just now, I said, what was wonderful was that you even broke out of it when I put you in the middle of the rug and said, start acting, you know, and you said, I can't. And then I said, stay with the image, as you had stayed with an image here, which helped you to get lightness in your shoulder, and you actually stayed with that image. And that image helped you to walk to the door. And then we had the next problem, which was the voice. I mean, simply the technique of a too tight a tongue and too harsh, harsh sound, because the vowels were not refined, the tongue was not loose enough, etc. And then something happened, you stayed with the image, and when you turned around, the body was both light and the sound was light. And it really all came from the mind, didn't it? It came from the imagination. Okay. Now, before I continue with that, what I want to ask you is this. Just before I put this machine on, you said, but of course today it... What did you say, David?
Well, today it won't work nearly as well.
Uh-huh. Why did you say that?
Because my energy is muddy and because my throat hurts. And uh-huh. It's just not a good day physically for it.
I
might be surprised.
Well, see, I'm going to go, I think this is another of the large problems that performers have, mm-hmm. is the fear of duplication, mm-hmm. okay? So it really has nothing to do with your voice being loud and your energy being low. And No. I really think you said that, and you said it's because, but I think it's because the fear that you won't be as good as you were the last time. I think that's really...
I'm more concerned about my energy level, really, than matching, because I picked up from the last lesson that there's no push involved mm-hmm. with what mm-hmm. you know, with what happened. There's no being good involved. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of focusing on the image,
yeah.
staying forward, and that wasn't intimidating at all.
Uh huh. So why? What has that got to do with physical energy or with your voice? You know, feeling.
I was real concentrated the last uh-huh. time. I'm very dispersed today, so that's...
Uh-huh. Okay. Why don't we take some exercises to begin with on just centering the attention. Good. So it means... let's count to 10. And just count to 10. All right? Let's do it first silently, and then let's just count out loud to 10. And I'd like you to sense what happens on the inside when that happens. No. Just do the breathing. And just let it breathe out like this, and then let it come in, and then breathe out again, and let it come in. Feel how nice and smooth that all is. But when you were breathing both in and out, did your attention go down to where you felt the breath moving through the torso? That's what being centered is. So this time, let's find the words in front, okay? And let's start with an SH, and we'll start with a pattern. So it would be, I'm going to breathe out, and then when the air comes back into the body, I'm going to go
She.
Now we need correcting, because the vowels are back in the throat, okay? So this is, I think what we're doing today is sort of finding out how one brings oneself back to a kind of, to the technique, okay? Mm-hmm. So today, what you're feeling is, it's as though maybe driving over here, like, I haven't got the technique, and it's all light, and it's all fluffy and ephemeral, but I haven't got it, I feel like shit. So let's, what we do is find where the mistakes are happening. Right? So one mistake is that the vowels have escaped you, right? And we really want to remind ourselves where they really belong on the tongue. So find that place on the tongue, the E place. And breathe, and go to she.
She.
She. That's better. She.
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 Yes, do you feel you're pounding on the SH a little bit? Good. So don't think of a pounding thing, but just let the breath move right into the sh. And you'll notice that you don't have to do anything to make that SH sound. Just try the SH. Like, shh. That's all. Now connect it to a vowel. Sha.
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 Yeah, you're pounding again. Feel it? Good. Then just very gently see it as, see the breath moving right onto the place on the tongue where the SH happens. So it goes like this. Breath goes. Yes, do you notice you're still pounding it? So it meant that the breath was kind of, you were kind of coming at the breath from the outside. Why don't you let the breath get pulled down into the torso, and then as it moves back up again to the word, think of it as one smooth action.
Sha.
All right. Sha.
Sha.
Sha. I just went back again. Sha.
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 All right, don't concentrate. So stop it. You're judging it too much. Mm-hmm. Let me be the judge, okay? You just respond. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we feel lousy, I think we get sort of worried about it, thinking, gee, the lesson will be lousy or the performance will be lousy. Mm-hmm. Lots of times, what we have to really remember is that we often feel lousy when we perform. But we go easily and lightly to the technique. And it's the technique that gets us through. Did I tell you about this dialogue I had with Joe Chaykin in New York? He had a toothache. And it was very serious. This was during rehearsals. And it's especially serious for Joe, because he has problems. He had to have a root canal. And he had to come to rehearsal late because he had got to the dentist first thing in the morning and all of that. And we were sitting around the table during a break, and I said, I try to teach my students that you have to incorporate feeling lousy into the performance. I said, you rarely feel wonderful when you're performing. You have either a cold or your back is out or you have a tooth problem or whatever, or it's unbearably hot, or it's so cold that you really can't get your body to function for you. It's all of these things. Life doesn't stop, you know, because you're performing. So you have to learn to bring your illness or your physical discomfort into the performance with you. And Joe said that is so true. You know, and he's a man who performs all the time and works with actors all the time. So I think what we do is we, in addition to really feeling lousy, we tend also to worry about it mm-hmm. more. And then we examine everything we do with an even more critical eye, because we're ready to put blame, or ready to, you know, to beat our chests and say, oh, this is no good, I'm wasting the hour. Don't do that. Feeling lousy is par for the course. Mm-hmm. It's a normal condition for the most part, with most people. Just go to the technique, and go to it until the technique begins to work for you. Okay, so this business of, you know, shaking your head like this doesn't really help it. Stay neutral about it, and let me be the one to kind of guide you using whatever suggestions I have to find your way to the better use of the technique. So what were we doing? What was I doing?
Right there.
Right there? Sure. And let the lips go forward. Sure.
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 Okay. The vowels are now somewhat in the front. They're somewhat back to where they belong. The little bit of pounding that you're doing, you can't get rid of at this moment. So what you do is you say, okay, I can't get rid of that at this moment. Let it be, sort of put it into cold storage. And it will either go away, or else you'll work with that slight pounding for today. So this is the way you learn to accept yourself, accept what cannot be changed, and kind of move into what can be changed this particular day. Take another set of vowels. Let's take the W. Find out where it happens, right here. Right on the lips, just see it. It's as though it's written right here. And the W takes lip corners forward. All of these things are going to help you to bring the technique back into your physical self. Now I'd like you to breathe. Don't let the E happen here. Bring it forward in the tone. We. Good. Where.
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 Now let the tongue really be loose, because they are in front. Where. Where. Where.
Where.
Be careful. You're giving me part of the O here and part of it in the throat. Bring it all forward. Whoa.
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 Okay, now let's see whether we can count again. This time it would be, start with the one, okay? And it was whoa, one. And see whether just that beginning can keep the rest of the count in there. Take a breath.
One.
Don't try so hard, David.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Take a breath.
Seven, eight, nine, ten.
Okay, so do you feel that you were pretty much with that from 1 to 10, and you were in the work? Good. So I think that now that you could even do another exercise that even grew into an acting piece, a characterization like Oberon or God knows who, and pretty much stay with the work. So it took a little bit of finding oneself, just as I suppose a musician tunes, you know, the instrument. I mean, if the weather is bad, the instrument can really be a problem, and, you know, be really off pitch, and go and go and keep going until you get enough right, so that you can play somewhat, and then you may have to stop and tune it again. sorry, while you were doing that, I had something else to say about counting. I can't remember. Oh, the T's. Okay. Before we go into a larger work on your feet, let's work on that T sound while we're at it and while working small today. We talked about the T. Sometimes your T is the T of a streetwise kid, right? So there's a funny, it just doesn't quite fit everything else. It's an explosive sound. It's more explosive than it needs to be. Let's examine why that's happening. I'd like you, with the very tip of your tongue against the back teeth, the upper back teeth, very lightly go. Did you hear it? The first one was right on the tip and was very fine. The second one spread away from it. Could you tell? Yeah, it's when it spreads away that it gets a coarse sound. So stay with the tip. And breathe. Yeah, and stop. All I want you to do is imagine the tip of your tongue. Mm-hmm. Okay? See, don't try to go to the tip. Just see the tip. Just see the tip. See it, take a breath, and follow what you see. Don't care whether it's right or wrong. Now you really know that. You know that all we're interested in is connecting up to the image. And do it maybe one and then another, because I want you to see the image and then do it. Too broad. So what image are you taking? Is it the tip of your tongue? How about taking a very fine line? You know when we go to buy a pen and you can buy a wider point or a thin point? See the very thinnest line. That's very nice, David. Is that working for you? Okay. So I'd like you to maybe try, let's find some words. I will say them first before. See that line or else come up with an image of your own. Too. Tight. Terrible. Beautiful. Let's say the T. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right. Bed. Terror. Tribe. Trivial. Okay. Too much. All right, it spread there. But do you notice that all the T's are just fine? Okay, so what you have to do now is take that for homework. And you mustn't work without seeing in your imagination something that is very fine. You can bring back some images if you wish. Did you have another image other than that fine line?
What ended up working was like the rim of a very fine crystal bowl, because it's got a nice curve.
That's lovely.
Very tiny, like a cordial.
Yeah. Yes, that's lovely. That's perfect. Exactly. Stay with that, but every day I want you to practice this. See, if this is something you have to do every day, otherwise the habit is gross, and the tongue is gross in that particular letter. And if you don't give it, if you don't outdo it, if you don't practice it right 101 times, then it's never going to get corrected. Okay? So you have to do it until the tongue automatically goes to that more refined sound. Good. So you'll bring a list of that for me next.
Different words.
Yeah. And plan your time so that you have 5 minutes or 3 minutes, you know, if that's as much as you can handle without getting uneasy, so that you're quiet and all you have to do is see that, you know, lovely crystal brandy glass tea. Terra. Trivial. Beautiful. Etc. See how calm you have to be, huh? Don't work unless you feel like working. But make sure that you make it a point of feeling like working. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. I think you better lie down on the floor. Let's get to the body.
This may be dangerous. We just end up here permanently.
Uh-huh. No, you're not going to end up here. What we're doing now is the equivalent of what we did when we started the breathing and we counted to 10 and we found the vowel. We're just sort of finding our way back to an emptiness in the body that makes us feel light. Yeah? That's really what we're doing. Put this under you. Let the breathing get started. Good. I think one of the important things to remember is that when we feel lousy, it also means that our breathing is off. See, my voice isn't good today either. You feel the graininess in it. Yeah, I mean, these things can't be helped. What can be helped is that you have to remind yourself to let the breath move through the body. See, when we feel lousy, the breath sort of stops moving. It just kind of stays in one place. So that we have no way of refreshing ourselves. And it's the mental condition, in a sense, brings on that breathing condition. And the breathing not being normal and natural will bring on the mental condition. So one brings on the other. They really help each other to make you feel lousy. Right? So let the breath get going. Now, where in your body do you feel that you have to let go? Or do you just, for today, have only to let the breath move through the torso and then let it fill up into the mind? Let the mind be lighter. Let the brain feel as though it's floating inside the skull. Yes, why don't we say that, David, that lying here, which is a comforting position, that you're going to make the association that the brain is light, is not depressed, and that sort of corresponds to the breath that's moving now through the torso. And like that connection. Feel good in your mind. Feel good in that diaphragm. And if this is working for you, just lift your finger to let me know. That's right. So today what we have to do is sort of, in a way it's good to have a lesson where you really feel lousy, and then to go through the actual act of finding the ways to bring you back to kind of exercise level or even performance level. The one place in the body where I would like you to think of emptying out is in the ankle. Last time we emptied out there. Think of, as you thought of the brandy glass, think of a beautiful piece of mousseline. Absolutely pure on the inside, not a flaw. And it's in the shape of an L. And the calf to the ankle connecting the foot to the calf, that's an L shape. So when you get up, I want you to think of that beautiful piece of mousseline. And leave those ankles alone. Now, although I know that I can tell that you would like to lie on the floor, and that's good to want to lie on the floor, let's just shorten the process. Don't abort it. Don't make it abrupt. But just take a little mental note of shortening the process, because I want you to roll over. And I want you to feel completed. Shorten the process, roll over. Good. Stand at the fireplace for a moment so that you get used to the idea of standing with that same feeling of the breath moving through the body. Good. So we're doing everything in steps, aren't we? Just in tiny increments of regaining what we had, the physical sensations that we had last week. Good. Now, when that breath goes through the body, this time standing up, I'd like you to go and let it come out again. And feel light in the mind, too. Feel that the brain is affected by the breath. Breathe out. And then let the air come back in, and feel it coming into the torso and also up through the head. Don't make it happen. Just imagine it happening. Do that again. And then just imagine it coming back into the body as I see it is doing. And just imagine it swirling through the head part. That's all. And don't work too carefully. Now, David, I would like you to walk very lightly to the door. Just walk lightly with a desire to look out at beautiful green leaves on the tree. Good. And think of those light ankles as you turn back and walk to the hallway. Breathe. Come on back. Stay at the doorway and just touch the doorway with your hands so that it gives you a sense of, you know, support. And I'd like you to breathe out again. And then let the air come in. And as it comes in, feel that you float across the floor with loose side ankles. Do it again if you wish. That's better. David, did you notice how that your walk across was simpler this time? Did you feel that there wasn't as much sort of unconscious preparation to make yourself walk smoothly across the floor? That was allowing the breath to come back into the body, having the image of a light ankle, and then just walking. So that you were really truly physical at that point, but you were not imposing anything on the body. You were not giving the body any particular attitude. So that when you first started to walk, the body had an attitude of casual, you know, I'm going to be casual. Yeah, this is the hardest thing in the world to do. So how do you get simplicity? What?
Just a single image.
A single image, yes, and breath. Yeah, see, if you go without breath, you can't get simplicity. The body begins to manufacture. So breath is really the essence of all acting. And we come to that now. Before, we only thought it was, you know, we needed it to speak. We got convinced of that. And now when I say breath is really acting, Do you see how breath brings in quality? See how breath gets you from one place to another?
It's cleansing.
It is cleansing, exactly. It takes away all of the quirks and the neurosis, whatever neurosis we have at the moment. And for the moment, cleans us out, and then we can just walk from one place to another, simply. Try that again. But you have to, in a tiny way, remind yourself of what you have to do. You have to do a number of things. Here, as you stand, remind yourself of them. But once it happens, just take a breath and have that one image. It's very nice. Really, it's nice. And you, David, when you get to where you're going, don't drag your foot. It's just another simple technique. This time, when you go and look out, turn around and, or you'll start counting to 10 as you look out the window, and then turn around and count.
Count as I turn.
Whichever. What I want is to connect words to movement. Was really quite good, remembering how we started this morning. But now it needs not deliberate, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's that ponderous. Let's get it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, something. Each time that you do this, think of it, in music they have scale exercises. I forget what, Czerny, in the Book of Czerny. And each little exercise is really a little song. It's a little work of art. And it just makes up, each thing is a little work of art. I want you to think of these tiny exercises as tiny little abstract works of art. See, so they're not, and each time you do it, it's what you're doing is the breath, you move, you turn, you count. I mean, that could be the finest avant-garde exercise. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Wilson or Merce Cunningham comes out with one of those things. It is conceivable, isn't it? So without throwing any performance idea onto it, or characterization, which is what we're not doing, but think of it as a little jewel of an exercise. And what we're doing is adding to this little jewel sounds. In dance or in music, that's enough. See, you don't characterize in dance. In the theater, we take that and we put a character. We put a young man with blue eyes who has just had a fight with his girlfriend, and we add that on to that tiny little exercise. Do the exercise abstractly.
Exercise
of jumping up and down. foot, and as you do that, count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay. Now, stop. We've come through the hour, lifting, getting the voice out of the throat, getting the body calm, reviving the intention. Right? You know, we sort of breathed and let the breath go up into the area of the brain, so that there was a kind of lovely quality to the exercise. Now there's in personality, we have to change that, your personality today. Do you notice that there's a kind of, you're holding on to the grim?
Sullenness.
Yes, darling, yes. You are, since you have put the word
into
my mouth. You are such a little shit today. it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, now, but people, you know, good actors have moments of sullenness, and good actors sometimes feel, you know, sometimes are shit heels. How does one deal with that when the need is to lift away from it? I mean, either your director or the role requires it, or the director is saying, what's wrong today? Or the teacher is saying, okay, I've heard that, it's now technically proper, but there is attitude surrounding it. There's like a little plastic bag of unhealthiness surrounding that sound. What's the technique? Find the technique to remove oneself. Not jarring, not fake, but in an organic way. One is acknowledging it, acknowledging sullenness. It's a normal trait. It's not pleasant, but it's normal. It's human. And then the other is to find what? An image or an attitude that technically lifts you away from that, into which you can move. I have had this, I'm not an especially sullen person, but I've had my whatever depressions I have, and I would remember that, for example, doing Molly Bloom, I remember once, you know, I was about 3 hours away from performance, and I simply didn't feel like it. And, you know, one, I do test myself about 2.5 hours just to see whether, you know, how much work I need to, and I really did have to do an awful lot of writing my thoughts out, finding a way to find my way to Molly Bloom so that I could believe it, that she could believe me doing it, and that I was presenting something both true to the audience and also true to character, and yet not violating the way I truly felt. So I found something that was a tiniest little truth, and then as I stayed with that truth, little by little, I moved into Molly's truth. And I gave a proper performance, true to the gaiety and whatever that was required. What can you find now?
Well, when I do, I have to perform, you know, all the time, because...
Yeah,
because
singing. Uh-huh.
And it doesn't make any difference what my personal state is. It's immaterial. And so when I come up to the house, I drive up to the house, I stop, I review the material in the car, as I'm putting the jack on and so on. Then as I walk up to the house, I create a lightness, and usually when I get down and when I get sullen, I retreat, everything falls back and down. Mm-hmm. And so I move everything forward and up, and move, including the face,
good.
And keep the breath light and up, as opposed to everything drop back down again, and it always works.
I don't know whether that has enough depth to work for a character. Why not? Isn't that just what we were doing now?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Isn't it exactly what we first? We brought the voice up, and we brought the breath up, then we got the lightness, and then it works. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is that
I also create imp, but that's something.
But that's a word, yes, because of the kind of work that you do. The word imp is right. So, when I said Let's just, you know, find a clue. Let's say that when we talked about these as being little jewels, little works of art, walking to the window and back to the hallway, mm-hmm. and counting to 10. And if you were performing this, what quality of lightness or of good humor could you bring to that? What word would come to your mind? Would the word jewel come to your mind? Facets come to your mind? Crystal come to your mind? Sparkling come to your mind?
Bauble is what comes to
bauble.
Mind after all those
bauble. Questions. That's nice. Why not? Bauble makes me feel hoppy. Now, do you feel like hoppy? Yeah. So look, why don't you hop for a minute? Take the word bauble and then walk back and forth and then count to 10. And bring yourself in an honest way, physically, true to lightness. Try it.
Hop for
a few seconds. The word bauble sounds like bobble and bubble, and that means a hopping thing. Keep trying. Let a smile come up through the inside. And when I say smile, what I'm really saying is let a physical thing happen. Let a lightness come up through the inside. Let it go into the cheekbones. The cheekbones lift the lip corners of the mouth, and the eyes suddenly get a different expression in them. Do it all on the breath.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And now why don't you bauble with ha ha. Don't really laugh yet, but ha ha. And keep the ha ha in the front part of your mouth. That's right. Uh-huh. Keep going. And don't be eager to get it light. Let it get light in a natural way. Alright, follow that with a count. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Stay with it and play on it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Alright.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, stop. What you do when you have your job, mm-hmm. You do. All of that lifts you to the place, and you actually feel good when you go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What you were doing just now, you didn't. You mm-hmm. didn't let it happen. Why? Is it because you don't have to, it's not a job, it's not a performance? Is it because it's in class and you are a spoiled child enough to resist it?
No, because I'm afraid of contriving, I think. Instead of pushing it, instead of manufacturing,
you're not letting it happen. Sit down for a minute. I understand that.
Because I can fake it out there.
I see what you mean. Yes. There is really a very fine line between letting something really happen, even if you have to kick it off ever so slightly. The tiniest bit contrivance, and then letting it go by itself. It's like the faucet, the water won't run out of the faucet unless you do turn that spigot, right? But once you turn it, it does run by itself. So maybe what you have to do is trust that you have to kick it a little bit to get it going, and then know how to leave it alone, all right? Because this also is another then technique of how do you know what to do, when to do? How do you know when the spirit is the last thing that won't soar, right? But it won't soar unless it gets a way of lifting, all right? So what you were doing was going 1, 2, 3, 4, see, but inside the gray, you know, the grayness was down inside. Suppose we did this. Look, I'm going to put grayness into myself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You feel that? I feel it, boy. I feel it real good. Now let's see, what can I do? I'm going to take a breath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The grayness is there, but you feel that the tone is lifted.